This is Afternoons Live with Tyler Axness on News Radio, KFGO.
KFGO times 236 Friday afternoon. If you're expecting to be making your pigskin picks as we typically do Fridays, don't worry, we'll get to those. It's a bit of a line shift today because I want to make some room for North Dakota's lone Congressman Kelly Armstrong. Congressman, have you been able to catch your breath yet? It's been a crazy week for you, man.
Well, I've had plenty of free time today since I went to the airport at 6:30, and now I'm back at my place in D.C., so...
Well, I'm happy to hear that because I've seen you all over national news. I know that earlier today there's been a declaration when it comes to our egg stuff, which is where I want to start here because you're going to be hopping on a plane coming back this way, and I'm sure when you're flying back into the Bismarck, Mandan, or the Dickinson area, you're going to be flying over a lot of farmland that's got a lot of water in, which is why this declaration is being needed. Just to explain to the listening audience, if they haven't been listening all day today to KFGO, what's being requested of the USDA?
We are requesting, it's 47 out of 52 counties as a disaster declaration. And so Governor Burgum sent that out this morning. And I've got it on my page, he's got it on his page. Even if you don't follow politics, go read the letter, and it's long and it's detailed. And then if you know a farmer, call him and just or see him and just give him a pat on the back because it was really well done. Unfortunately, there was a lot of detail about a lot of bad things that have happened starting from the spring. And then so Senator Kramer, Senator Hovind, and I are also in constant. We sent a letter to the USDA, but we're in constant contact with them every day to see if we can get that disaster declaration done as quickly as possible. Reasons why it's important is that qualifies immediately for the FSA Emergency Farm Loan Program. The SBA has an Economic Injury Loan Program, the WIP Plus Program, and then we're also trying to get those MFS payments out as soon as possible in November.
Well,
that's like the short version of a lot of detail.
Yeah, well, and yeah, I mean, we've had conversations, at least on this show, about a number of those things. Especially, we had Mark Watney from North Dakota Farmers Union, you know, talking about the need for those MFP payments in particular to not wait till January, because like you just said, it's been, you know, with the weather, if you've been around here, been watching the forecast, listening to it, it just has been, you know, as cliche as it is, that perfect storm for farmers. So I applaud you guys in trying to get this done because anything's needed right now, because they just need the income. They need something to get. The bills don't stop because it's been raining nonstop here in North Dakota, Congressman.
Yeah, and it's everything from cows to sugar beets. Western North Dakota has more rain than the Red River Valley. The Red River Valley looks like the Mississippi Delta, and it wasn't just the blizzard. It was like that before, and it's been incredibly wet afterwards.
Congressman, while we'll be following along, I know there's going to be another, or at least what I heard from Governor Burgum earlier today, that this is kind of step one. There's going to be a FEMA request, I believe, from the White House shortly just because of the disaster. And there's nothing anybody can do about the weather, unfortunately, here that we've been witnessing. Congressman, I know I've got just a little bit of time with you here, you're on one of the three committees that's been meeting now about the impeachment inquiry. There was a vote yesterday on the House floor, pretty well partisan divide outside of one of your neighbors here, Colin Peterson, Democrat on Minnesota's 7th District, one other Democrat as well voting no. Explain the vote to me.
First of all, if they were going to do this, they should have done it over a month ago. This process should have been started at that point. That's how it's always been done in the past. And by the way, not just with presidential impeachments, there's been 22 federal judge impeachments. I think I've looked at all of them. I always hate to say indefinite and how this has all worked. So it should have started a long time ago. I can tell you that impeachment is an inherently political process. I think that's something that that we should recognize. It's not a court of law. I can tell you, as somebody who's practiced in a court of law, it has none of the due process.
Oh, are you there, Congressman?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry, you got muffled there. I didn't hear the last part.
Oh, I said it has none of the due process protections that exist, and it's really, truly been an incredibly partisan exercise.
Well, and, Congressman, so the, earlier this week, and I want to just let you know full front what you had a moment in at a different hearing with AOC, as the kids call her these days, about the schedule.
I refer to her as Representative Ocasio-Cortez.
There you go. Well, very
but
pleasant.
You can call
yes.
me Kelly.
Okay, well, Congressman Armstrong, Kelly. So, I mean, that made rounds, and, of course, I think right away it made the rounds because, oh, here we go. Here's a North Dakota guy talking oil. And then, of course, the context being what it is. I gave you kudos because, you know what, we're going to talk about process and scheduling. And, quite frankly, I think you were in the right saying, I can't be here and also fulfill the duty on the impeachment inquiry of what you're a member of. The one thing that, and this is where I'm saying full disclosure here, the one thing I find interesting about that conversation, I want to give you a chance to respond, is one of the things I've been hearing a lot about this is, well, Democrats in Congress are not doing anything besides impeachment. But if they're also holding hearings, to me it can't be both, that they're not doing anything besides impeachment while they're also holding hearings that aren't based on impeachment. Do you have any response to that?
Yeah, I would say...
Are you there, Congressman?
Thank you. Particularly when the Oversight Committee is all, I mean, I've never had staff before, so I would like to give a shout out to my staff. I don't know if I could survive. Well, I know I couldn't survive without them. But that's the thing. We're not allowed to have staff in those depositions. We're not allowed to do those things. So I find it really interesting that we are having Oversight Committee hearings at the same time that we're deposing people and the Oversight Committee, and only the members can be there. I agree with you. They should be doing other things. I'm hopeful we get USMCA done. It sounds like Speaker Pelosi has made some positive comments today. I've been stuck in travel issues, so I haven't been able to follow it. But to do it with the very committee that – to hold simultaneous hearings with the very committee that is one of only three that's allowed to depositions, I just think is wrong.
Well, yeah, it's just that's where I agree with you on the process being what has been as far as, well, look, I mean, if you have people on the committees, you got to allow them to be on the committees, guys. One of the things that people have been pointing out out in Congress is the transparency. You had mentioned that there's the due process, the transparency. To me, the vote yesterday, you know, whether it would have made more sense, you know, months ago or even it being yesterday, was to gear up for that more public testimony. So with that, do you agree with that it's going to allow for more transparency? And then if so, why the no vote?
Well, one, because when you set rules that give complete control, and by the way, I've said this 1,000 times, I've only been here nine months, but I'm not a naive snowflake. I know politics is involved in politics. But when you're doing this thing, those rules give complete and utter discretion to the chairs of those committees, particularly with one issue that's significantly different. That's how the White House's counsel is allowed to interact, and what the chairman essentially have the right to exclude them from that. So as somebody who's done this both, I mean, in the legislative process in the state of North Dakota and in a court process, pretending like there's due process and having due process and pretending like there's transparency and having transparency are not the same thing. And I'm hopeful they do it right, but they have that's the problem with rules. Rules shouldn't be based on hope. Rules should be based on they have to do it right.
Congressman Kelly Armstrong, our guest, talking about the impeachment process. He's on one of the three committees that is holding these hearings. And Congressman, just for the audience, which committee in particular are you on when it comes to this impeachment inquiry?
I am on the Government Oversight and Reform Committee, but I'm one of three members of Judiciary who are on both committees, because eventually, okay, when the articles get filed, and they will get filed, that will end up going through Judiciary. So that's okay. One of the reasons why I feel it's so important to be there, because there's only three Republicans that are on both of those committees. So we're going to see it on the front end and on the back end.
Congressman, one of the things that's been thrown out quite a while now with this been going on is that members like yourself on the minority in the House on these committees haven't really been allowed to ask questions. Is that accurate?
No, that's not true. We're allowed to ask questions. I will say that, I mean, yes, but when the chair is in charge of the hearing, and I'm not going to talk about anything that's happening down there. I'm going to respect that part of it. But there has been witness coaching. There has been overruling of what are very bad. Any valid objection, and I don't just mean a courtroom objection. Again, I understand this isn't a court of law, but you can't do those things. We're allowed equal time in the hearing. And what I mean by that is the Democratic staff usually goes for an hour, then Republican staff goes for an hour, then the Democratic staff and members go for 45 minutes, and Republicans go for 45 minutes. So that's and I think that's the Twitter and the soundbite culture. That's not the problem. I mean, that just really isn't. And I'm glad that it sounds like Chairman Schiff said he's going to start releasing some transcripts next week, which already causes me concern. I think they should release all of them as soon as they're done and cleared.
Congressman, something just stood out. You had mentioned about witness coaching, and I understand, and I warned the audience too. It's, hey, look, you know, these are hearings in secured areas, right? So I get that there's going to be things that you're not allowed to say, and I respect that. But you mentioned the witness coaching, and I think about the Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. I think that's how you pronounce his name. It's where, you know, he's come forward, he's Purple Heart vet. Do you find him as a credible witness? Do you find him to have credible with some of his concerns that he brought forward?
So here's how I would explain that, Tyler. I would say every witness, when they testify, and I've done this before too, and you've seen this happen too, just in hearings, any particular issue is interesting, but when you have other witnesses, especially when you're dealing with testimony, and a lot of what happened here, is second, third, fourth-hand information. I will say this, there have been contradictions to a lot of different things that have been said in those hearings, and not necessarily in the most favorable light for some of the witnesses. I don't know how I can answer it any more specific than that.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying I hope all the transcripts come out.
Sure.
By the way, this is a big process with lots of witnesses. There's things that are said. There's things that are testified to. There's good days. There's bad days. That's how these things go. So, and that's why I just think it's important that everybody gets as much chance to see all of it.
Yeah, well, and I think you're right. I completely agree with you. I mean, as long as, you know, the part of the process, and that's where I think some of the debate, at least with the listeners here in your home state, is, well, is this just part of the process? They're gathering information, and eventually it'll go to the public side. So, I mean, if things come out, I want it to be everything we can legally see so we can all make up our own judgments on it, Congressman.
Except I would push back a little on this because this has never been secret. It's been selective. I mean, when they think an opening statement is good for the other side, the media has it before the first break. You could tell with Morrison's testimony, it eventually leaked towards the end of the afternoon. But it was, it was really on the ground frustrating for a lot of my friends in the media. They couldn't believe that by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they didn't have the written statement. And then, so my question to the media in D.C. was, well, why do you think that is?
Congressman, I'm getting some messages in here referring to, and this kind of goes towards that, I believe. I mean, I told people, if you have a question, send it in. I'll try to get it in before
you
go. So last week, one of your colleagues led people into the secure room, the SCIF, because they wanted more transparency. There was a press conference held. I believe I saw you on Fox News at that press conference. So I know you're on these committees. Were you a part of the group that went in, or did you just follow them out of that room to say, hey, we want more transparency in this?
I participated in the press conference. I just, to be 100% honest, I had no idea that was going on. I was already in the room when they all came in. I actually left the press conference early because that's the other thing. This is probably a little inside deal. The room we're doing this in is way too small for three committees. So if you want to get in there and get a seat where you can see the witness, you go early. So I was already in the room when they came in.
Okay. That's the way I believed it, but I just wanted to ask for transparency's sake.
I understand their frustration. If I wasn't one of the members on the committee, I would be really frustrated too. You know me well enough to know that's kind of not my shtick.
Yeah. Well, that's I do. We worked, I thought, pretty well, even though we disagreed on certain policy positions. I mean, I think we worked together quite well while we had our time out in Bismarck. Congressman, I'm up against a break. I got one final question for you, and it does have to do with you know, this whole underlying theme, because a lot of it's been about the process, which I get. You know, we don't necessarily all have to agree on the frustration of the process. Has there been anything that you want to dive into more about the conduct of the allegations of the president? And I mean, just even a yes or no, that, yep, this troubled me, or something did trouble me.
Well, I'm going to start. I will say this. First of all, I'm not sure anybody alive can get away with doing things that this president does in how he talks and how he speaks. And that's how it works. So if you're asking me if I would have handled a particular conversation or a particular situation differently, I'm sure I probably would have. But what I can say is I've seen nothing that rises to the level of a crime or anything improper enough to get anywhere near impeachment. And I will say, I think particularly with the exception of maybe Ambassador Bolton's testimony, now we are really on to the backup. I mean, I heard this from this guy who heard this from this guy who heard this from this guy, kind of.
Well, in Congressman, that's why I asked about.
What I'm saying is I think I have a pretty good picture of where we're at.
Well,
I could be wrong about that, but I think we do.
And that's why I asked about the Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. You know, he was on the call. He's the Purple Heart that, and I know this wasn't you, and I'm not trying to say anything about you being a part of that, but, you know, instantly, instead of talking and pushing back on the allegations, it was going to the credibility of him. That's why I'm asking, is he a credible witness, Vindman? Because you just mentioned that, well, this is second hand, third hand. This guy was on the call, and he's the Ukrainian expert. So do you add more credibility towards Lieutenant Colonel Vindman than some of those others?
I thought Morrison was more credible than Vindman. That's probably the best I can tell you. And they have some differences.
Sure, and I think that has been reported, Congressman. So,
yeah.
Congressman, I'm up against the break, but hey, man, if you have anything else, I'll let you get the final word before I let you go.
I got a question for you.
What's up?
Have you been pheasant hunting yet?
No, I haven't. I got to tell you what, though, I got a deer tag, so I'm hoping that whether it's next opener, next weekend, or that week after, I'm going to be taking some time to get on out there, man.
Absolutely, get out there.
Are those right now? I was there. Are those numbers still high up where you call home?
Yeah, deer look good. Pheasants are down, but we can get into them. I can always find a couple roosters. It's like when I hunted in high school. I had more fun when I hunted for 3-4 hours. Been 20 minutes anyway.
Congressman, I gotta
go.
I'm up against
them from DC.
that'd be a bit of an issue. Congressman, I gotta get a weather update. I appreciate it. We'll talk again. This is going to be one of those processes that certainly takes a little while, and I appreciate the opportunity and the time you took for me today.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tyler.
All right, thanks. Congressman Kelly Armstrong from North Dakota, 237-5948. I got a ton of text messages at 35270. I will get to those next, but I got to get you a KFGO weather update. More Afternoons Live right after this.